Have any of you heard of what is described as mean world syndrome? Anyone? I don't know if it's a real condition, but I have heard several people describe this as though it's when a person is so convinced that everything in the world is conspiring to get them, whether it be people, situations, other nations, products. You could keep going on down the line. There is one woman that I know who shall go unnamed. Don't worry, none of you know her either. I'm serious about that. None of you know her. But she was a mother of one of my friends who every day we would get an email from her. And it was always about, be careful with the microwave because thousands of people have been injured when they've pulled out their tea and had it explode in their face. There was just like every day there was another thing. Oh, if there's a sticker on your window, don't get out to remove it because someone's there to carjack you. And I would smile and think, has she seen my Jeep? But the people who suffer from this syndrome hear something and they immediately move to a place of fear. Now, everybody's afraid of something. And I say that because it's true. We all carry fear with us. And we bear our fear in different ways. I mean, here, I'm gonna be a little self-revelatory here. And one of the things that I used to most be afraid of was the Lollipop Guild from Munchkinland. Yeah, it's funny because the Wizard of Oz was on this week and I was watching it and I changed the channel because they were about to come out. I'm serious, when I was little, that was like the scary, that and the Oompa Loompas from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory were the scariest things that I knew of. Thankfully, I've grown up out of that fear, for the most part. But you guys know what I mean. We have those things that we're afraid of. We're afraid of spiders. Some people are afraid of dogs. Others are afraid of heights. Some people are afraid of flying. Others are afraid of germs. Some are afraid of strangers. Some are afraid of water. Some are afraid of the dark. We are afraid of having our hearts broken. We are afraid of being alone. We are afraid of failing. We are afraid of upsetting people. We are afraid of making decisions. We are afraid of making mistakes. We are people who are afraid. And fear is a powerful driver of the decisions we make. And sometimes that's good, and sometimes it's bad. I mean, for a good example, I'm just going to say, fear is what drives us to wear our seatbelts. We don't wear seatbelts because they're fun. We use them because we are worried about what would happen if we weren't wearing them and we crashed. And it's good to wear a seatbelt. I'm not telling you to go and not wear your seatbelt. It's a good, reasonable, protective fear. On the other hand of the spectrum, we have the example of Howard Hughes, who spent his final years in seclusion, paranoid of germs and infections. A brilliant man who was crippled and isolated by an irrational fear. And I share these examples with you because Easter morning brings with it many messages. Messages of hope, messages of resurrection, messages of power and love and mission. But in this morning's gospel reading out of Matthew, there is a clear message that stands out above all else. And it comes in the voice of the angel who greeted the women and said, "Do not be afraid." And again, Jesus repeats that same message when he appears among the disciples. And he says, "Don't be afraid." And when we read the Gospels, we can understand why they would be afraid. The Romans had executed Jesus as a revolutionary. Surely those who follow Jesus could be next. It's a reasonable assumption. And in fact, the Romans had gone and posted a guard, not just a single guard, but a squadron of soldiers trained to not be afraid in the face of danger. They'd placed them there in front of this tomb where Joseph of Arimathea had laid Jesus' body because they didn't want anything out of the ordinary to happen. See, they had heard that Jesus had claimed that he would rise again in 3 days. And they didn't want Jesus' followers to come and do something strange. It was dangerous to be a follower of Jesus. So when the women went to the tomb that morning, the morning after the Sabbath, they are already gripped with a fear of wondering what is going to happen when they approach the tomb. They are already gripped with a fear wondering what the Roman soldiers would do to them. And as they're approaching, what happens? The earth shakes violently. How many of you have been afraid in the middle of an earthquake? And then what happens? The angel appears. And it tells us that he's gleaming in white. And so strong is the earthquake, and so strange is the appearance of the angel, that the guards are frozen with fear. These trained soldiers, the most fearsome force in the world at that time, are frozen with fear. So it is not surprising that the angel looks at the women and says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." So let's think about the disciples. The disciples are gathered in their room when suddenly Jesus appears in the middle of their gathering. Jesus, the one who had been crucified, the one who had died, the one who had been buried. Jesus, the one who had said he would rise on the third day. Jesus, the one they had misunderstood so many times before. Jesus, the one they had deserted. Jesus, the one they had abandoned. All of a sudden, he's in their midst. And you have to imagine that, oh my Jesus, you've come back. Have you come back to punish me? And instead, Jesus looks around the room and says those all-important words, "Don't be afraid." So we're here and it's Easter, and the message of the risen Christ and the message of the angel is, "Don't be afraid." And the question that I have for you is, would we even know how to live without fear? Would we even know where to begin? Do we even know what that kind of living would look like? You see, in the rhythm of the way that God works, there is a pattern. And it's a pattern of death and of resurrection. And just when it appears that all is lost, just when it appears that death and darkness is won, over and over, God steps in and has the last word. Just when it seems that the story is over, God begins adding to it. And a famous Christian author put it this way. He said, resurrection means that the worst thing is never the last thing. And you might think that all is lost. To which I have to say, don't be afraid. And you may not know what is coming next. Don't be afraid. And you may not know which way to turn. Don't be afraid. And I can say that. Don't be afraid, because Christ is risen. We proclaim that he has been raised victorious over death. We proclaim that God has promised to us that same power over death. And that God has promised us that that same power over fear is available to us. God is in our corner. God is with us. God does not abandon us. God does not leave us alone. And in light of the resurrection, we can say that we can shed our fears. And when we shed our fears, we are free to act. We are free to engage. We are free to invite. We are free to live. You know, you will never accomplish anything unless you are willing to risk failure, heartbreak, or pain. And I mean that both in the personal sense and in the spiritual sense. You see, if the disciples had just stayed in their room, we wouldn't be here. If the women had been too afraid to go and tell the disciples, worried that they weren't going to believe them, well, of course, Scripture tells us the disciples didn't believe them. But if they were too afraid, we would not be here. And if the early followers of Jesus did not risk their lives to spread the word of the risen Christ, we would not be here. Don't be afraid. For Christ is risen. All right, we're going to do that again, all right? I know I sprung it on you. It was a surprise. But I want to hear that echo. He is risen indeed. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
I think we can do better. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
And I pray that we would rest secure in the risen Christ, and that the message of Easter would permeate our hearts, transform our lives, and change our world. That we would grab hold of the abundant eternal life that is offered through faith in Jesus Christ, that we would be disciples of the risen Lord. May this be a moment of transformation and a morning of worship in spirit and truth. Amen. Amen. Amen.